Welcome, everybody, from all around the world. Welcome to this podcast, Escaping the Entanglements of Our Lives. You got yours, and I've got mine. I'm your host. I'm Dolphus Q. I'm the originator and the creator of this podcast. Now, I believe our lives, yours and mine, are easily entangled with things, both real and imaginary, malignant and malign. Now, some of these things are unnecessary. Some of these entanglements are absolutely necessary. And some of these entanglements are undesirable, or should be undesirable, and will eventually lead to a downfall, like Humpty Dumpty fell from the wall. But I believe escape is possible. I believe we can escape the entanglements of our lives. It takes effort on our parts. We must become mindful, or quite simply, and do like Buddha, and go sit under a yum-yum tree. Now, if you're following me, you know this podcast is about me escaping one of the major entanglements of my life. And it's going quite well. Would love to know how some of you are dealing with the entanglements of your life. But still, escape is possible. I think our goal should be to live relatively stress-free. It may sound like an impossibility at times, but escape is possible. But now, like the walrus said, the time has come. Yes, my friends all around the world, the time has come for the reading of the word. Episode 15, chapter 15, The Awakening at Rock Bottom. A certain jerk and what sounded like a head-on collision jarred me awake. Prior to that moment, I dreamed while curled on my side like a baby that I stood within eyesight of the promised land. I flipped over on my back. I lifted my head. I opened my eyes. And within seconds, the collision came again. I was jerked and jarred to full awareness. Daylight covered the sky like a dome, and immediately I sensed the hot shot had come to a stop. I sat upright and gazed up at the sky. It was a cloudless blue, the type of sky that promised another hot day on the horizon. However, I noticed a fine mist of white dust in the air like a fog. It seemed out of place on such a clear overhead sky. Then the head-on collision occurred again, but this time during the stop, I heard a loud swoosh of falling rocks. Immediately I jumped to my feet to investigate. My mouth dropped open with a shock at what I saw. We were in a rock pit, and the gondola was in a line of gondolas headed towards a tower where it would stop to be filled with fallen rocks. I hurried over to Son Bolo. He was awake, but looked groggy and confused. "Hey, man, Son Bolo, we in a rock pit." It took him a few moments to grab the gravity of my words, but when he did, he moved like the gondola was on fire, and so did I. We were in the process of climbing over the wall when the gondola suddenly stopped. Immediately, I realized what had happened. Someone had spotted us inside the gondola, and the operator of the huge tractor that pushed the gondolas under the tower to be filled with rocks stopped and waited until we had cleared the area around the gondola. Sanbolo waved his hand and yelled up at the man. The man opened the glass door of the compartment in which he sat and leaned out to listen. "Hey, which way is out?" "That way," the man pointed. "Just follow the twisted road. It will take you on out." The man closed the door and resumed his work, and we started towards the twisted road. It looked like it had been cut by nature through the rocky terrain up from the bottom of the rock pit. It looked wide enough to be straddled by 250-feet trailers placed end to end. The twisted road was deeply rutted and impossible to walk upon without hindrance from ruts or tread marks from the tires of tons of trucks, tandem trailers, and heavy equipment. A quick scan revealed the twisted road as the only easy way out. Everywhere I looked, I saw footprints of the mountain. It looked like ground zero of a huge open pit. It looked miles in circumference and just that many up the twisted road to the top. We took our time as we began our trek up the twisted road, but soon we began to encounter downhill traffic from men who drove down to the bottom. The drivers who drove the trucks and operated the heavy equipment appeared not to notice us, or as if it was par for the course. A couple of hobos who woke up at the bottom of a rock pit. I couldn't help from being amused at our predicament. Sanbolo was forced to smile himself. "We slept all the way through the detachment of those gondolas from the hotshot and woke up at the bottom of a rock pit." Indeed, it was funny, but our humor soon faded when we saw a pickup truck with an amber light flashing on its roof driving towards us from behind. Fear flashed in my mind. "Looks like trouble," I said. "Just let me do the talking," Sanbolo said. The truck stopped alongside us. The driver lowered the window with a push of his finger. When the window was down, the driver leaned toward us. He looked as if he fought to suppress a fit of laughter. You fellas want to ride up to the gates? Just hop on the bed back there." We climbed into the bed of the pickup, and faster than we could have ran up the twisted road, the driver drove up to a set of open gates and stopped. We climbed down from the bed of the pickup. Sanbolo stopped at the driver's window. He wanted to know the way to El Paso. The driver pointed beyond the open gates to a highway that looked far away. "At the bottom of that highway is the ramp to Interstate 10. Stay on I-10 West. It will lead you straighter down an arrow to El Paso." We walked up to the ramp towards I-10. I could hear the roar of speed as we drew near to the entrance of Interstate 10. We stopped and paused at the sight of speeding vehicles. Sanbolo looked in the direction of El Paso. I thought about the Chinese journey of 1,000 miles and how it began with one single step. I let out a sigh of frustration and commented on how hot it had got. Son Bolo said it would likely get hotter before we reached El Paso. There was less than a foot of space to walk upon the smooth edge of the interstate. Our path forward was rough and rocky. We walked slowly. I got the impression that Son Bolo hoped we could hitch a ride without taking a stand and holding out a thumb. Right now, it sure looks like we might have to walk all the way to El Paso, I said in jest under the heat overhead from the sun. Maybe so, but we must keep on moving, Son Bolo said and kept walking. Although we moved forward with each single step we made, it appeared we walked upon a treadmill and got nowhere. We had walked at least about 3 miles before I wondered if anything close to civilization existed between us and El Paso. There's a couple of one-horse towns, Son Bolo answered, but our best bet is to keep walking all the way to El Paso if necessary. I whistled at the thought. Whew. All the way. Son Bolo lifted his head and puffed out his chest. I don't care myself. Man, I'm more than willing, and I'm well able to walk all the way to California. Instantly, upon hearing the word California, I thought of the promised land. It was as if I heard the bell of liberty ring. Purpose of my presence came sharply into focus. To set myself free, I clearly saw myself headed in the right direction towards the promised land based on Son Bolo's determination to get there himself. I was no longer stuck in the mud of an undesirable situation as I had been in Miami. I had a guide, and in a sense, a free ride to the promised land. Suddenly, nothing really mattered as long as I arrived alive and well in the promised land. There was a positive change in my perspective. I looked as far as I could see. The sky converged with the highway. You know, I resolved out loud, a walk all the way to El Paso would clean out my system and give me a chance to check out my mind. That's what it's all about, said Son Bolo with a new surge of energy. The time and space to check out your mind and get rid of the cobwebs that holds your mind in check. And the thing I truly love about a freight train ride is you can reach that space and time without the need to walk all the steps of your journey to inner freedom. Well, I sure wish we were on a freight train right now, I said, or else in one of those cars with the air condition turned on full blast. Son Bolo laughed. Yeah, I know what you mean, man. It is hot. The heat did not deter our progress, but Son Bolo walked slower. The scenery that surrounded us swelled into rocky hills that looked desolate, and any vegetation other than an occasional long cactus plant became sparse. Interstate 10, alive with fast traffic, looked like an oasis compared to the terrain I saw around us. For what appeared like well over 1,000 steps, I-10 provided the only sign of human existence. The first sign of human life I saw otherwise was a roadside billboard that advertised just miles ahead an all-in-one-stop shop service center. It sold fuel, fast food, groceries, and handcrafted Texas-themed souvenirs, all at a price lower than the nearest competitor. The billboard prompted me to believe that soon we would see some roadside signs, perhaps one with the mileage to El Paso. We did not see any such signs. However, we did see one with the mileage to Comfort, Texas. We took the exit ramp. Sunbolo purchased a pack of cigarettes. The clerk told me that food stamps were gladly accepted. I traded the stamps for hot fast food and quart-sized cups filled with ice and cold sparkling soda water. Sunbolo decided to rest in the shade beneath the overpass, but within clear sight of the entrance ramp to I-10. It was cooler under the overpass, but there was an irregular flow of traffic from the exit ramp on the other side of I-10, which at times made it as peaceful as a lullaby, and at other times a symphony of noise to my ears as I sat under the overpass. We ate and drank. Then afterwards, Sunbolo smoked a cigarette. I made myself comfortable. I watched the traffic as it drove through, and to my surprise, occasionally a passenger in one of the vehicles would wave a hand at me. Once Sunbolo finished his cigarettes, to my surprise, he stretched out like he intended to take a siesta. I made myself more comfortable. I focused my ears on the traffic above my head on I-10. It sounded like short whistles and whips of air that never stopped. The more my ears focused on those sharp sounds of speed, the more meditative I became. Each vehicle speeded towards an unknown destination, but I speeded towards a destination unknown, scared yet determined to set myself free from the clutches of crack cocaine. Suddenly, it dawned upon me that I was closer to the promised land than I realized. Thoughts of my entry into Los Angeles, the heart of the promised land. Then I looked over at Sunbolo. He appeared to be asleep. I was ready to get up and go, but willing to wait for Sunbolo to make a move. Sunbolo stirred and stretched. Gee whiz, I must have dozed off a minute or two. Let me smoke another cigarette and I'll be ready to go. I watched the flame as he fired the tip of the cigarette. I was inspired by that tiny flame to ask a big question, at least to me. Hey, Sunbolo. Have you ever lived in Los Angeles? Sunbolo blew out a cloud of smoke. No, I ain't never lived in L.A., but I hung out there many times. Is that where you want to go, L.A.? I lifted my chin and answered with a smile. Yep, that's my destination. Man, fuck L.A., he said hotly. L.A. ain't shit. I'm from Compton. I had never heard of Compton. He told me it was a neighborhood community located inside Los Angeles County, the same county where the city of L.A. was located. According to him, it was a better place to live than in L.A. Man, they couldn't pay me to live in L.A. Well, what about me? Do you think I can make it in L.A.? He paused. And I got the impression he was backed into a corner. I'm not saying you can't make it in L.A. Hell, with luck on your side, anybody can make it anywhere. I'm just keeping it real. I hate L.A. I love living in Compton. And with that, we've come to the end of our episode for this reading. And I invite everybody all around the world to listen to us next time for Escaping the Entanglements of Our Lives. Until then, so long, everybody.